is the Jose Show. Jose Show.
And welcome to another exciting episode of the Jose Show. I am your host, Jose Roldan Jr. And tonight's special guest, you can catch him in Terminator 2. You can also catch him on the TV show Something Smells Funny. And he's most famous for the TV show Chuck. He played Big Mike. Let me welcome Mark Christopher Lawrence. How are you doing today, sir?
Good, Jose. Good to see you.
Good to see you too. Good to see you, man. It's yeah. Sorry about the last time when the router went out. That's the first time that's ever happened, but it happens.
You know, it is what it is.
Wow, technology. I love that background. I've never been to San Francisco. I'd love to go there one day.
My first job out of college was with the San Francisco Mime Troupe.
Really?
So it's a great place to work.
Oh man, that's pretty cool. One of these days, I'm going to come over there because I want to come to one of your shows. Okay, so basically, just to give people a little bit of history, a few years ago, I was going through a separation and everything, and I discovered Mark Christopher Lawrence because I seen him on Chuck, the TV show, and he had a Twitter account, and I noticed he kept posting scriptures, and which is pretty cool because I was going through a dark time, and I contacted him and just, you know, kind of explained to him what was going on. And he was like the light at the end of the tunnel. He was there and he just, you know, we conversed back and forth every so often. And I just told him what was going on. And, you know, he kept quoting scripture and it actually helped me get through to me the darkest hour. So I consider that a friend, even though he didn't know me. This man is a Christian and obviously he loves to help people. And for that, I'm very thankful.
Well, you know, it's like sometimes, you go through stuff so that you can help others. And I think, you know, I had been through what you went through and, you know, it was God using me as a vessel to help you.
That's good. I appreciate that. I tell you, it's amazing that you do that. And I try to carry the torch on. I try to help people when they're in need as well. So let me ask you this question. How did you actually get started into comedy and then into acting?
Well, I had a teacher in the 10th grade that got me involved in speech, and she put me in my first play, and she got a mentor to help me with one of my speeches, oral interpretation literature, the piece called Staggerly. And he actually put me on stage for the first time as a comic. And, you know, I didn't really know how to do comedy at that time. I was in 11th grade, and he helped me straighten it out, and you know, I did my time for him, and it was good. Then my friend Lennon said, let's go to the Comedy Store. So we go to the Comedy Store in Hollywood and do 3 minutes. And Louis Anderson saw me and came off stage. He says, hey, kids, you got something. Keep writing. And that was the beginning of it.
That is pretty amazing. Now, keep writing. Now, as obviously, when you write your monologues, do you take that actually from life or anything that you see in your everyday, when you walk around or wherever you're at, is that how you write your monologues?
I try to write close to myself. I literally mine my life for stories to talk about. You know, most of the stuff in my act comes right out of my life.
That's good. That's good. That's pretty cool. You know, I know sometimes I like to try to be funny myself. I make people laugh, and you know, laughter is the best medicine. And what you do, obviously, I believe it helps other people because, you know, people are in, especially in this time now with the COVID and everything, people need to laugh. And, you know, listening to your comedy, I tell you, I was listening to it the other day and I really needed it. Believe it or not, I'm happy, but just sometimes you have those days when you're down and you just have to have that pick me up. So, you know, being a comedian is just pretty awesome. Now, when you started doing this full time, what was it like? Like, how did you actually support yourself? Did you have like other jobs to kind of carry you over until your next gig?
You know, when I started doing comedy, I used to always say it was my day job. Mm-hmm. You know, and like I'd be working for these opening for these headliners, and you know, my approach to it was that it was a means to an end. This is the way I was going to pay my bills while I pursued acting.
Okay.
And And that's kind of the way it worked out. When I decided to quit my day job, I had done two national commercials a week apart.
Oh, wow.
And I was waiting tables at a place in Glendale, California, and had a falling out with the manager. And I told him, you know what? Just send me my check. And I decided that day that that was it. Comedy was going to be my day job, you know, and acting would be my career. And that's kind of the way it's been working out.
So basically you took a leap of faith and it panned out to the better, to the good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow, that is pretty awesome. You know, I know sometimes in life, I've always wanted to take a leap of faith, and it seems like I can never do it until I started doing this podcasting. I decided one day, you know, during COVID, when it came out, we had a month off from work, and I just took that leap of faith. And, you know, now I got a little bit better equipment, better microphone, and I just jumped into it. And let me tell you, I've had some amazing people on. I've had you on before. It's amazing how many people that I have met that I never thought I would ever meet. And I'm just truly blessed. And, you know, I thank the Lord for that, because, you know, the Lord gives us talent. And I believe my talent is to help share some of my life. And then that way I can listen to everybody else's life. So that's pretty cool. Now, when you were on stage for your very first time, like, obviously you were pretty nervous, but I mean, did you get a lot of boos or hisses?
None. And I wasn't nervous because I was, you know, in 11th grade. You know, there's no, you know, when you're a kid, you don't have that kind of same, how do you say it? The when we look at ourselves and see flaws, you know, as a kid, you don't see that. So you don't have those inhibitions. And I was in speech, so I was already used to speaking in front of crowds of people. So it wasn't a big deal for me to go to stand up and talk in front of a bunch of people. It was not a big deal at all. And I just thought I was going to be funny. In fact, the first time I went on stage at the Comedy Store, I didn't even have an act. I just went up and started talking about my day.
Oh, wow.
And I talked about my day for 3 minutes and it was funny. And that was that.
Oh, that's pretty neat. Yeah, I sometimes I talk about my day and people look at me like, are you crazy? Now, as an adult, when you started doing the comedy, why did you decide to be clean versus dirty? Because I know there's some good comedians out there, but they use a lot of foul language.
Well, I mean, once again, I started in 11th grade. I was living at home at my mother's house, you know, and there was going to be no dirty comic coming out of that house. I knew that had I decided to just be a dirty comic, one of my mother's friends would eventually see it, and then I'd have to deal with her. So,
yeah, your mom would slap you like my mom would do me.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. I'm glad that you're a clean comic. And, you know, it's, to me, you don't have to be dirty, and there's a lot of dirty comics out there. Trust me, I've listened to a lot of them. One of my favorites back in the day when I used to watch Evening at the Improv was Elaine Boozler, and she was pretty funny. Carrot Top, he was pretty funny, but he was a little bit nasty at times. And obviously, probably one of the best comedians out there, Jerry Lewis. Dude, that guy was hilarious and funny and a great actor, but... Now, fast forward now, how did you, what was your actual first acting gig besides the commercials? Like in a movie or a TV show?
Well, my first audition for TV was for the TV series Hill Street Blues.
I used to watch
and
that.
It was my first audition, and I remember having the audition at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and by the time I got back home at about 2 o'clock, it was already on the machine that I had the job. So that was my first audition and first job.
Wow, that is pretty amazing. Now, I was watching one of your movies the other day, Cooties. Man, let me tell you, that was a crazy film. I've never seen something. You wasn't in there very long. Like, I was hoping you'd be in there a little bit longer.
I was the first to go.
Yeah, the kids like tore you apart, but that was actually a pretty good film. Now, I really liked the TV series Chuck. I watched all 5 seasons, and everybody in there was good. And now, how did you actually land the role of Big Mike in the series Chuck?
Well, Big Mike wasn't originally in the script. So when I read for the pilot, I read for the role of Harry Tang. And Josh Schwartz liked me, so they wrote the character Big Mike for me. And so I ended up playing Big Mike because Josh Schwartz liked me.
That's pretty cool. I love the store, the Buy More store. Zach Levy, it was just a really good show. And I'm really hoping they reboot the series or make a movie, because it was one of the best shows on TV at the time on NBC. And I know I've seen it over the years, petitions going up to hopefully bring the series back or a movie. Now, do you know if anything like that is actually going to happen? I mean, have you heard any talks about that?
No, there's no talks about it. You know, if Warner Brothers is not interested, it's not going to happen, because, you know, Warner Brothers owns it. So it's like every day I'll get something in my inbox, somebody asking me, you know, when are we going to see a new episode, or when we're going to go to see a movie. And, you know, the actors can't really make it happen. I mean, Zach can push and try to get his people to help him get it done. But if Warner Brothers is not interested, then it's not going to happen. And I think at this point, I mean, it's been so long. I think that ship has sailed.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, it would be nice, but yeah, it makes sense what you're saying. Now, I've seen you on social media. You do a lot of flying across the country to do your comedy work and to also film movies. So what is it like? Like, how many days out of the month are you actually in other cities besides the area that you live in?
I get that question a lot, and I have no idea. I literally don't. But this year, I mean, I haven't been gone that much. I mean, it's only, you know, I think I can count on one hand the number of acting jobs that I've done and the number of comedy jobs that I've had to travel to. So, you know, it hasn't been that much this year anyway.
Yeah.
But you know, once things shut down, once I was really busy 2019, and then everything came to a screeching halt in March of 2020, like it did for everybody else. And it's, you know, it's starting to slowly trickle back up, but you know, it's not like it was before the pandemic started, you know. So honestly, I have no idea how often I'm home and how often I'm away.
Yeah, just when you're not there, you're not there. When you're on the road, you're on the road. And we're going to go ahead and take a commercial break. You're listening to The Jose Show on Turfs Up Radio.
Are you a military family with a spouse on deployment away from home? Did you know that nonprofit Project Evergreen has thousands of volunteers across the country ready to help military families with lawn, landscape, and snow removal services? We call it Green Care and Snow Care for troops. If you are a military family and would like to receive this free service, or if you'd like to volunteer to help, visit projectevergreen.org. Project Evergreen, creating a greener, healthier, cooler earth, one yard at a time.
And welcome back to The Jose Show. I am your host, Jose Roldan Jr. And today we're talking with actor and comedian Mark Christopher Lawrence. So in some of my show notes that I have here, I noticed that you had won a daytime Emmy and a regional Emmy. The daytime was for Stacks, which is the movie short, and the regional Emmy was for The Flourish. So what was it like receiving those?
Well, no, I was nominated.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you were nominated for those two.
Right. It was great to receive the nominations. I thought The Flourish, the regional Emmys, the categories are so diluted. It's mostly news stories. So my category wasn't an acting category. It was narration and performance. So the person that won my category, even though I watched the content that he won for, and I didn't think it was a great narration at all. I thought, you know, as far as the narrator goes, I thought he was very mediocre.
Yeah.
But the story was so compelling that I think, you know, people that voted, they voted on a story and not on performance.
Okay, makes sense.
Because really, I thought the little girl who played my daughter in our movie, she was also nominated. And so she was in that same category. I thought she should have won. You know, but you know, it is what it is.
Now, I loved Stax, and this time I'm not going to give away the plot or the ending because when I had you on last time with Scott Wood and all that, I actually bleeped all that out so nobody could figure that out. But I thought Stax was actually pretty funny, you know, being of the COVID era. So you did a good job at that. I was a little upset when I first saw it, and I'm like, you know, I'm trying to figure this out. But anyway, once the thing ended, you know, it was like, yeah, it was pretty cool. So I've seen it a couple of times, and very good job on Stax.
Yeah, you know, my friend Gerald Webb, it was his vision. And, you know, he contacted me one night, and we talked about it, and that was about 48 hours before L.A. went into quarantine. Mm-hmm. And the night before, we started shooting it, and as the editing process went, you know, Gerald was like, man, this thing looks like a big budget movie. You know, we should probably try to get some of our friends to try to help us get this thing pushed out to a bigger audience. And so we held off on just popping it out there, because we thought it was just going to be this funny little thing that we did with some friends, but it got bigger than that. You know, in fact, it was just accepted to a film festival in Canada. So, you know, it's still moving right along. Really, really just a talented group of actors. With Gerald, it was his first directing effort. So I was really not surprised, but happy with the way he was able to hold the tension throughout the beginning of it, you know, until it pays off. Yeah. And, you know, I think we're probably going to see a lot more from Gerald Webb. He's a good friend, and, you know, I've worked for him many times with Deinstitutionalized Films and when he was over at the Asylum, and, you know, just a talented guy and, you know, like I said, a really good friend. So hopefully, he and I will figure out something else to do soon.
That's cool. Yeah, he did a really good job. I mean, it was well put together. So amazing. And he was at the Asylum? Wow, that's pretty cool. I've tried contacting them before, and nothing as of yet. So hopefully I've interviewed a few actors from the Asylum, or that has worked with the Asylum in some of the movies. But that's pretty cool. That is pretty decent. Now, when I had you on, I think it was about 2 months ago, we talked about Something Smells Funny, which is Scott Wood, that he started that Cooking with Comedians. How did he actually ask you to be on the series?
He just texted me and said, hey, I'm working on this thing. You got time to come up here and do it? And I was like, when? And I just happened to be in the area that he was shooting in, you know, at the house that he was shooting in that particular day. And I said, oh, you know what? I'm going to be over here that day. I said, I can get there about this time. So we said, yeah, let's make it work.
Now, was everybody there at the same time, or did all the comedians come like at separate times?
We sort of overlapped.
Now, do you know?
I think they shot two the day before, and then two the day that I shot.
That's cool. So, yeah, you were cooking that fish, and man, it really looked good. You know, I've seen you cook a few times on the that one show you did with Pure Flix, that comedy show, and man, you're a pretty doggone good cook. Man, who knows? One day when I come over there, maybe you can cook for me and my wife.
That's why I can't lose any weight.
Hey, I'm right there with you, buddy. I tell you, I love to eat, and you know, it's to me, it's like a disease, because man, I see food and I'm just drawn to it. So I know when I go to the doctor Thursday, she's gonna point the finger at me, you know, because my A1C is a little high. So mm-hmm. I'm working on it, man. But it's a struggle, let me tell you. But yeah. I definitely love to eat. So what do you have on your current agenda as far as any new movies that are coming down the pipeline?
Pure Flix, I did a film with them called Nothing is Impossible. So I'm not sure exactly when the release date is, but we shot it this summer, so that's coming. I did an episode of a TV show called Sprung. Not sure where that's playing. It's one of the streaming channels, but I'll figure it out and post it. It's really a funny episode that I'm in.
Okay, so hopefully I'll have to check that out.
People get to see it. It's Sprung. I'm the director of My Name is Earl.
Oh, I used to watch My Name is Earl with Jason Lee.
Yeah, so the director, Greg Garcia, he hired me to do that. And, you know, and I've just been trying to push out my dry bar comedy special, get some eyes on it. And in the meantime, I'm rewriting or writing a new hour. So I'm trying to get that written. And, you know, it's tough, you know, because you got to, it's like starting all over again, you know.
Yeah.
You know, get out there, get on stage and try new stuff out. And so, when I was really busy, what I would do is I would write a bit and I'd stick it in between a couple of bits that I knew were funny so that even if it died, I'd be okay. but when you're not working as much, then you just got to go and, you know, hit the open mics and all that and try material out. And you know, that process is painful.
Oh, I can imagine. So let me ask you this. When you write your monologue, so, you know, I don't know if it's a page or two. Now, do you actually memorize that or do you just like ad lib it as the audience listens to it? And do you use that monologue every time you go to another show?
So,
if that makes sense.
The way I write is like sometimes I'll wake up in the middle of the night with a joke in my head. When that happens, I have to write it exactly the way I saw it while I was sleeping.
Okay.
So I have to write that down and I do it verbatim. When I sit down to write and I mine my life for stories to tell, I don't really write those jokes out. I identify the story and then I tell the story. And then I figure out ways to punch it up. And then I start putting it on stage. And every time I put it on stage, you know, it grows. For example, in the clip that I have on Dry Bar that has 19 million views at this point on Facebook.
Wow.
That clip, when you see it on Dry Bar, I think that was like the third time I told that story. Mm-hmm. And now it's so much better because every time I put it on stage, something new will pop out and I'm telling the story better. I've had more time to season it and make it better. And so that's kind of the way, you know, I build the act. Sometimes you have to write the jokes in a certain way to make the punchlines pay off.
Okay.
You know, this, you have to. I think the thing that I've been blessed with is the ability to, when I'm telling stories about my own life, I can just tell those stories in a funny way, you know, and I don't really have to think too hard about how to set it up, you know, just because the way it happened in real life, sometimes it's so funny. It's like, just tell the story and you'll be fine.
Dang, that's pretty cool. That is cool. Yeah, I've been wanting to do that myself. We have the one of the comedy, I can't remember the name of the club. I've been there a couple of times to watch some comedians, but I've always wanted to write a monologue and just try it out because they do have open mic nights. And, you know, it's just, I'm scared, but I guess I got to take the leap of faith and just try it out one time and see how it goes.
You know? Well, best advice I could give you would be to start with 3 minutes.
Okay.
You know, write 3 minutes and know exactly what you're going to say before you get up there. Most people, where they go wrong is that, you know, they're funny around their friends and they're funny at work or whatever.
Yeah.
But in those situations, your friends are setting you up to be funny. It's like they'll tell you, like, you guys will be talking about something. And the way they say something gives you an opportunity to hit it out of the park. So as a comedian up there by yourself, you have to be your friend and set yourself up.
Okay. I'll give it a try. You know, it's a baby steps and we'll see where that goes. But we're going to go ahead and take a commercial break. You're listening to The Jose Show on Turf's Up Radio.
Playing the best music. Hands down and dirty. Turf's Up Radio.
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 Turf's Up
Radio.
Turf's Up Radio. Your industry, your station.
And welcome back to The Jose Show. I am your host, Jose Roldan Jr. And today we're talking with actor and comedian Mark Christopher Lawrence. So let me ask you, who is your favorite actor?
That's hard. I don't know that I have a favorite. I have many that I'm influenced by.
Okay.
James Earl Jones.
Yes, he is good.
Charles Dutton, Lithgow. There's many actors that I love, like Jessica Lange, for example, is one of my favorite females. There's so many actors that are so good at it. Yes. There's a lot of actors that people don't even know because they don't have agents and they're just doing regional theater that are absolutely brilliant. There's a lady here in San Diego that I think is one of the best actresses I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. But she doesn't drive. She won't drive the freeway. So,
oh, wow.
So she only works in San Diego.
So she'll probably never really get heard, or at least not seen as much, unless she does national or anything like that. Wow, that's pretty amazing. Well, listen, it has been fun, and I want you to go ahead and share your final thoughts, any advice you can give, and then share your social medias, and I'll take over from there.
Well, I'll say this. You know, we're living in a very turbulent time right now, you know, especially in this country, you know, politically and with the pandemic. And I just say to people, you know, be kind to each other. You know, take a moment to be kind. You know, your friends who are your friends before politics separated you. Mm-hmm. You loved them before, you know, politics did what it did. And there's no reason to not love them. Just because we don't see things the same way doesn't mean we can't be friends. Also, you know, because of the pandemic, you know, I've lost 19 people since January, 14 to COVID.
Sorry to hear
so,
that.
So, you know, take care of yourselves, you know, stay happy and healthy and safe. And if there's somebody that you hadn't talked to in a while and maybe just reach out and say hello, you know, just see how they're doing, you know, be good to each other, people. As far as ways to reach me, the best way is you can Google me or you can go to my website, markchristopherlawrence.com. All of my social media links are at the bottom of the screen. I'm easy to find. Mark Christopher Lawrence. You can find me.
Yeah, definitely. No, I appreciate those words because it, I mean, I'm guilty of it too. Sometimes, you know, we live in a world now, it's like we're separated by party. And it seems like we hate each other, and I'm guilty, and I'm not saying I'm guilty of hating. It's just sometimes we don't like what they think, and they don't like what I think. But no, you're right. We need to love each other. If there's somebody we haven't talked to in a while, we get a hold of them and just see how they're doing, and definitely stay healthy. I know during this COVID, I've been trying to stay as healthy as possible, taking different vitamins and stuff like that. And when I'm in larger crowds, I'll wear my mask. Now, you know, at work, I don't wear it because I'm not around a lot of people, but definitely, I try to be safe as I can. And, you know, I do appreciate your words of encouragement because I do see your social medias all the time. And, you know, I appreciate you putting the scriptures out there. To me, you're a true Christian because you're not scared to put it out there. I know I try to share some scriptures sometimes, but, you know, the other side of me that's, you know, you got your Christian man and you got your non-Christian man. Sometimes is afraid of what people are going to say, but you know, I appreciate you doing that because like I said, it did help me and I'm pretty sure it's helped other people, but they may have not contacted you. So for you, for that, I commend that 100%. And I tell you, well, continue to do that.
You know, just to comment on what you said about, you know, being afraid of what people might say. Here's the thing. If we don't act, because we're afraid of what somebody might say, mm-hmm. we'll never do anything that's worthwhile.
Makes sense.
You know what I mean? So, for me, the stuff that I post is what I read first thing every morning. And that's what I end up posting. As you know, I posted that on Twitter for years and years.
Yes.
You know, from my inception of Twitter. And then on the other platforms, I was only posting shows. And then when all of a sudden I didn't have any shows, I was like, oh, I just post the same stuff that I post on Twitter. So I did that. And now that shows are coming back, you know, the response to the scriptures have been so good that I just keep posting that as well.
Cool. I love that. I love that.
But don't let other people's opinion, you know, make you not take action.
I appreciate that. You know, that you believe it or not, you have helped me immensely, and I'm grateful for that. And if you'd like to get a hold of The Jose Show, I am on Facebook. Just look for The Jose Show. I have a group and a page. And on Twitter, I am at Jose Roldan Jr. And on Instagram, I am The Jose Roldan. One of these days, I'm going to fix all that. But I'd like to thank Mark Christopher Lawrence for being on my show today. He's an awesome dude, and hopefully I can have you on again. And, you know, you stay safe out there, and God bless you.
Yeah, thank you, Jose. It was great being on. You know, hopefully I can get down your way and do some comedy sometime. Yeah, if you find out who books that club, let me know.
Yeah, let me find. I'll find out and see how that works. And it would be awesome, you know, because there's one in Tampa, and I think there's one in Lakeland. But I'll definitely find out. But thank you for being.
I mean,
on
even
the show.
Churches. It's like I do a lot of churches. So okay. If there's a church that wants to bring me in, I'll do that.
Okay. Well, you'll have to send me like a, I don't know what your like a. Your fee is
I'll send some stuff.
If you send me some stuff and I see if I can get it to the right people, remember to share this episode with your friends, families, and your enemies, because they may no longer be your enemies. Thank you for listening to The Jose Show.
Thanks for listening to The Jose Show. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And see you next time on The Jose Show.